Hey there, this is Cross, and this is Words in Whiskey, a podcast for veteran and novice readers alike. We tackle fiction novels and love to talk about what we're drinking. You should think of us as your intoxicating weekly book club. This episode is going to be one in which I'm going to be chatting about the full sort of plan with the wisdom of crowds and kind of talk through a little bit of my own sort of commentary, as it were, on it. So really appreciate you guys for listening along for so long throughout this whole series and kind of getting encouraging me to continue doing these couple of like little essays. So this one I'm going to call Prophecy's Place in Prose. I think that this is pretty clean cut compared to a lot of them. We're going to hit four characters as they pertain to the sort of central theme here of Prophecy's Place in Prose. This is intended to be the last of these little essays and maybe the shortest of the bunch by a decent amount. Why so much shorter, you might ask, while covering more characters? Well, let's get to that. So we've got three characters that I'm going to predominantly talk about over the course of this little essay. Rikka, which is the most obvious recipient of said prophecies. Vic, our unlikely decliner of fate. Orso, fate's victim. And Broad, fate's walking companion. So these are all really interesting kind of comparisons to talk about, but I figure before we get into the different characters, I'd like to start this conversation with the definitions of prophecy and fate. So prophecy, as defined by Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is defined as an inspired utterance of a prophet, the function or vocation of a prophet, and more importantly and obviously, a prediction of things to come. Pair this with the definition of fate, the will or principle or determining cause by which things in general are believed to come to be as they are or events to happen as they do, an inevitable and often adverse outcome, condition, or end, and or a final outcome, the expected result of normal development, and most importantly, the circumstances that befall someone or something. Pretty straightforward there. Moving through this here, Rikka, throughout this trilogy, uses parts of what she's seen in order to lead her people out of the blackest spots in the North's history. But most importantly, to her advisors, her friends, and her people, she presages the very notion of fate after she has her Long Eye effectively subdued, working from a plan and a playbook to win the day in the end. I personally love this take from Joe, and it does leave us with the question if Rikka really is just as clever as we believe her to be, or if it is something more. In the end, I believe that, in my opinion, more of the signs point to her just being a cleverer character while still having some distant access to fate and that sort of deeper reality in the end. That said, some of the other prophecies are crystal clear, most notably the wolf, lion, lamb, and owl prophecy. This path is the one that is chosen plain and clearly and leads to the downfall of our boy Orso. He is, in many ways, fate's cruel victim, and also one that just happens to be in charge when the rebellion grabs hold of the reins after years of cruel leadership from various kings under the guise of Baez's control. It's no shock that the wisdom of crowds goes off the way that it does, given the weight of everything that was happening behind the scenes. I think part of the reason that Orso's death hits so particularly hard as well, given the dramatic irony of his involvement with hangings throughout the series, including all the times he said that he bloody hates them. It's only at his own hanging where he's able to let up a little bit and be light about them. While the man has a decent instinct for self-preservation, I'd say he stands stronger on the side of sacrifice than any other character. He's willing to give up much to help and save those that he can everywhere. He's willing to, in many ways, look past the past misgivings of his enemies, look past the artifice of a simple flag, and see what things truly are and the way that they should be. In the very end, as he comes to terms before Forrest's death, he sees the reality that they can paint before them now with a renewed opportunity and fresh approach to governance before that thought is struck down before his very eyes by none other than Leo. In just perhaps one of the most horrifying scenes that Joe has ever put to page. I see in many ways the positive elements of Jizal shining through our pretty rich boy here. His death will always sting, but that's life, isn't it? To sidestep this, let's move to Broad for a second. Broad has an interesting relationship with fate, especially as we compare him against Logan Ninefingers. He sees it as an inability to change, and he sees the pain that his own path causes him. And yet, he still walks it. He's addicted to violence, to being useful, to powerful people. Without chasing fate, he's consumed by it, and his end is a prophetic one that the first page points out clearly. Logan was no different in many ways, and I think that Joe uses Broad to point back at Logan and see what so many missed about our lovable barbarian. He was consumed by the same reality too, especially in Last Regiment of Kings, that becomes obvious as he gets mad at his friends and mad as he's becoming sort of the leader of the North and, you know, in general, sort of the anger and rage that follows him no matter where he goes. Finally, our last character to talk about here is Victorine Dan Teufel. I probably have a whole separate essay that I could do on Vic. She's one of the most fascinating characters to me. I think she is the most important of the side characters of this trilogy, and really interesting in a unique way. But prophecy and fate are the words of the episode, so we're going to focus there. Vic was, throughout the series, by Glockta and by proxy, Tallow, to be set up to be our new Glockta, our new old Styx, our new terror all across the land. She is a different but very effective set of skills that make her uniquely positioned as Old Styx plays his cards to become his puppet. But as clearly as he saw there was no path out, she sees that there is one and takes it. This, in my mind, counters Broad's inevitability and shows that fate and prophecy can deal you a hand, but often it's really up to you whether or not you take it or decline and do something else. She shows us that change is difficult, and it's not easy, but even in Joe's twisted world, in which so few characters change and morph, it is, in fact, possible. Thank you so much for listening to these. I know that this one, again, isn't nearly as long as the other two. I think it's such an important theme. There's some other thoughts that I have. I've had a blast writing these and kind of composing them, and it scratches a very different itch for me than our usual show does, which is great, of course. I'm not complaining. But if you'd like something like this going forward, maybe at something like this length, let me know. I'd be interested maybe in continuing to do these. Maybe it's a Patreon thing. Who knows? But other than that, I hope you guys have a great day. Oh, by the way, look out for our finale wrap-up with PJ next week as we talk about all things from all the book series that we covered, get into rankings of so many different things, get into questions that people wanted to ask us over the course of, I believe we recorded for like 4.5 hours. We'll see how long the episode actually is. I still have to edit it yet. Ooh. It's a beastie, so very excited for everyone to get to listen to that. With that, ta-ta for now.